SBS live streams and podcasts are supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
אתם עם SBS בעברית. לעוד סיפורים מעניינים, כנסו ל-sbs.com.au.
And joining us now from the Australian Jewish News is Shane Dziatnik. Hi, Shane.
Hi, man.
Let's begin with the main headlines. And in Melbourne, last week on Sunday, where thousands of people attended a rally against anti-Semitism. Tell us more, Shane.
Yeah, in Melbourne, the outpouring of support for the Jewish community was palpable as around 5,000 people attended Sunday's positive Stop the Hate Mate rally against anti-Semitism. Speakers included Christian, Hindu and Jewish faith leaders, Aboriginal leader Warren Mundine, Jewish singer Deborah Conway and state and federal politicians. It was organised by Pastor Mark Leach from the grassroots Christian organisation Never Again Is Now. Proceedings opened with an audio message from federal opposition leader Peter Dutton.
Let's hear what he said. Here it is.
In the battle against anti-Semitism in Australia, I say to Australians of Jewish faith, you are not alone. The fight will not be yours alone. The coalition I lead will continue to call out and condemn anti-Semitism wherever and whenever we see it on our soil.
Shane?
Dale Stevenson, senior pastor at Crossway Baptist Church, said it's an unacceptable world where a child should be afraid to walk the streets of Melbourne simply because they're Jewish. And it's really driven, he said, by decisions being made by governments on the other side of the world. And I just think that is wrong. Rabbinical Council of Victoria President Rabbi Moshe Khan told the crowd, this inter-community demonstration of unity against hate sends a powerful message that discrimination has no place in our society. The success of the event was in contrast to some media reports on Sunday night, which erroneously characterized the event as a pro-Israel rally instead of a rally against anti-Semitism, and portrayed it as pitted against a pro-Palestinian rally being held at the same time. There were, however, a few violent incidents at the fringes. Police arrested six counter-protesters after several people trying to get past the pro-Palestinian rally to get to the other rally were attacked. Jewish man Slade Sherman told the Jewish News that getting to the rally was, to put it mildly, horrifying. He said, "Our walk from Parliament Station was an obstacle course of rage. Anti-Israel activists, their chants directed towards anyone walking through, was laced with the familiar venom of spoon-fed anti-Israel propaganda, hurled abuse at anyone who dared to approach," he said. Some of the abuse they hurled at him included chants of genocide supporter and death to Israel. Sherman's wife was dragged over a barrier, and his son was helped through by police after being kicked by a pro-Palestine activist, he said. Victoria Police deployed hundreds of officers to protect the event.
Shane, how about the pro-Palestinian protests, which take place every Sunday in front of the State Library in Melbourne?
Yeah, so an earlier pro-Palestine march from the State Library did not approach the rally, but some of the marchers went to Spring Street in Melbourne afterwards, where they were halted by a police barricade. And pro-Palestinian social media accounts advertised their counter-protest in the days before the rally with the image of a boot stamping on a Star of David alongside the words "crush Zionism."
Mm. And back to the main rally in front of the Parliament House, I believe this is the second Christian against anti-Semitism rally in Australia. I think the first one was in Sydney, correct?
Yes, the first one was in Sydney. I think there's been one in Adelaide as well. and then now Melbourne, and it's part of the ongoing series. I think there'll be one further rallies in Perth and maybe in Hobart as well, and Canberra.
Okay, and the organizer, Mark Leach, he's the guy who actually held a single Israeli flag, I think, a week after the war began between Israel and Gaza. That was in a pro-Palestinian protest in Sydney.
That's Mark, yes.
Remind our listeners, where was it?
That was in Sydney on October the 9th, mm-hmm. and that was in the afternoon. There was a rally at Town Hall, which then, a pro-Palestine rally, which then marched, of course, to the Sydney Opera House that evening, and you know what happened that night.
And to other news, and to the Australian Labor Party State Conference, which took place in Melbourne last week, and as protesters banged on the doors, Victorian Premier Jacinta Allen was moved to a far side of the room for her own safety, and she said that no one should be cowed by these bullies. What can you tell us, Shane?
There's been a slate of anti-Israel motions, including a pledge to increase funding to UNRWA. This was passed to rousing cheers at the Victorian Labor State Conference last weekend, and it drew condemnation from Jewish community leaders. The conference was marred by violence when some 200 pro-Palestinian supporters blockaded the Moonee Valley Racecourse venue, forcing a lockdown. Federal MP Daniel Molino was jostled by protesters, shouting that he had blood on his hands. MP Dr. Mitchell Ananda Raja later told a Jewish community event that she'd been to the conference and she'd spoken to Molino. She said he was shaken and his glasses had been broken. Outside the venue, trade unions for Palestine, including Independent Senator Lydia Thorpe and Victoria Greens MP Tim Reid, gave speeches, after which some 100 protesters pushed against a security barrier, many surging onto the premises, trampling a security guard. As protesters banged on the doors, Victorian Premier Jacinta Allen was moved to a far side of the room for her own safety. She later posted on X, "No one should be cowed by these bullies." Some of the Israel motions included immediate recognition of Palestine as a fully independent sovereign state and boosting government funding for UNRWA, and removal of all West Bank settlements. Hundreds cheered when the motions overwhelmingly passed, and two speakers against the motions, Nick Durenfirth and Garth Head, were heckled. However, the ALP's right bloc walked out in protest of these motions.
Thanks for the update. In other topics, any updates on the university campuses in Australia?
University of Sydney Vice Chancellor Mark Scott is, quote, effectively giving license to bullying, harassment and hate speech, according to Australia, Israel and Jewish Affairs Council Executive Director Colin Rubinstein. But it comes after ostensibly pro-Palestinian encampments at the Australian National University and also at Deakin University were given their dismantling orders last week, and protesters occupying a building at Melbourne University were told to evacuate or risk being expelled. But again, citing free speech, Scott on Monday defended the right of the encampments to remain on Sydney University's main campus, comparing them to demonstrations against the Vietnam War, to 2GB's Ben Fordham, while again insisting that the phrase "from the river to the sea" and calls of intifada were not hate speech. University of Sydney, of course, has been an epicenter of anti-Semitic activity since October 7, with many students and staff fearing for their safety on campus, while Scott has been accused of showing a lack of leadership over the issue. On Tuesday, Stand With Us Executive Director Michael Genscher and former British soldier Colonel Richard Kemp attempted to peacefully engage in discussion with some of the protesters on the Uni of Sydney campus, but they were removed and moved on by security guards. Earlier this month, respected Professor Peter Morgan, Sydney University, had his lecture interrupted by protesters who intimidated students and refused to leave. And that was the second incident in that same week. Rubinstein said Australian Jewish students would be profoundly disappointed and dismayed at Scott's stance prioritizing, quote, an abstract model of free speech over human safety. He said worse, his insistence that nothing can be done about the open incitement to violence and genocide represented by slogans such as from the river to the sea, are implied calls for violence in Australia, effectively means that the university's anti-racism policies are meaningless, empty words.
Okay, let's try to move away from the protests and demonstrations. Any positive news, Shane, on this week's edition?
Yes, yeah, some positive news. A huge milestone was achieved for the Sydney Jewish Museum last week.
Oh, wow.
When the City of Sydney Council approved its development application to create a new adjoining wing that focuses on contemporary Jewish life while implementing further upgrades to the existing facilities, including the Holocaust exhibition. And it follows a successful fundraising campaign by the museum for the major capital works project, which secured $30 million from generous community donations as well as the New South Wales government. The museum's expansion, which will be estimated to finish by 2027, will create a hub for Jewish culture in Sydney while ensuring more people have access to important programs that teach Holocaust history and promote empathy. And it will also help drive a goal of doubling annual visitation to the museum from around 55,000 to 100,000 visitors by 2032. Through offering even more state-of-the-art tech-enabled facilities, expanded galleries, and enhanced educational spaces.
Nice. And since we like positive news, this time from Israel.
Yeah, so the Hugo and Ilona Lowy Main Reading Halls and Special Collections Reading Room at the new National Library of Israel were officially dedicated last week, with Sir Frank Lowy, members of the Lowy family, and Israeli President Isaac Herzog and First Lady Michal in attendance. A dedication of sorts was also held at the library for the Robert and Ruth McGid Hall in honour of Dr. Herbert Evatt. The private ceremony in honour of Hugo and Ilona Lowy also included the unveiling of a new statue called Hugo by artist Sigalit Lando. Lowy commissioned the statue in memory of his father, Hugo, who was, of course, clubbed to death on the Auschwitz concentration camp railway platform by an SS soldier for refusing to leave his tallit and tefillin behind. Herzog gave a speech, and the inauguration ceremony was, of course, meant to be held last October, but it was delayed for the events. But it's wonderful that it happened. And the president of Israel, none other than Isaac Herzog, opened the event.
Shane Zyatnik from the Australian Jewish News, thank you so much for your time, and I'll speak to you again next week.
My pleasure. Thanks.
רוצים לשמוע עוד סיפורים? האזינו דרך האפל פודקאסט, גוגל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, או בכל מקום אחר בו ניתן להאזין לפודקאסטים.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.